You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up, the kākāpō, Aotearoa's native parrot, are unique in more ways than one, and recent research into their microbiome reveals yet another feature that sets them apart. University postdoctoral candidate Annie West published a study last week that identified kākāpō as having a markedly less diverse gut microbiome than other herbivores. I spoke to Annie this morning about her research and started by asking about the methodologies of her work.
I'm, I guess, a microbial ecologist. That means that I do a lot of DNA extraction work. That depends on the type of material I'm working with. So a DNA extraction from something like a fecal sample will look very different from sediment or water and things like that. So I do lots of DNA extraction and cultivation on agar plates for specific bacteria that I want to amplify whole genomes for. And then, of course, I send that away to a sequencing facility and get the DNA back and do lots of really complicated coding and analyses with it.
And what were the main findings of your study?
For my kākāpō fecal removal study, it just came out last week. Essentially, what we wanted to do was look at whether or not the practice of removing fecal material from kākāpō nests had any impact on the development of the kākāpō chick gut microbiome. And essentially what we found is that fecal removal from the nest didn't have any discernible impact on the gut microbiome or overall chick health. But what we did find is that when chicks spent time in the captive facility and were fed a specific baby parrot food, essentially, the gut microbiome looked really, really different. So what we were seeing was quite a dominance of lactobacillus, which just isn't found out in the wild in the kākāpō gut. So some management practices had an effect and others didn't. So that was really important information for doctors to then be able to go back and have a look at some of the practices that they were using.
To give listeners a bit of context, could you explain just the concept of the gut microbiome in general and the symbioses that might exist within host bodies with microorganisms?
Yeah, sure. So what we know from human-based research and, of course, that of model lab organisms is that gut microorganisms are really important for animal health and development. So they play a really important role in establishing your immune system. And also, once you've become an adult, some people may have heard of the gut-brain axis. So they actually play a really active role in your general well-being in your day-to-day life. So we know that they're really important, especially the microorganisms that we find in our gut. But we also find them on all sorts of other surfaces and niches within our body. And basically what happens is that as multicellular organisms, we provide these really specific niches for microorganisms, including bacteria, fungi, archaea, and viruses to colonize and to thrive in. And we can essentially control to some extent what microorganisms colonize the surfaces of our body, but the microorganisms in those communities can also exclude other microorganisms that they don't want to compete with as well. However, we all know that we can get sick sometimes, and that often happens when we encounter certain microorganisms that can overwhelm our system. So that includes our own immune systems, but also the defences that are put up by our microbial communities as well. And when you have sort of like ongoing issues with your microbial communities, that can also be called dysbiosis. So some people may have heard of that term thrown around in terms of especially your gut microbiome community. Essentially what it means is that the microorganisms there, the community has become imbalanced or has changed to a point where it's now associated with the disease. And it could be causative or it could just be a correlation with the disease that you have ongoing. So a lot of our research in endangered species is looking at how we can use the microbiome to screen for disease in sort of like a preventative management way, but also be able to identify early instances of disease and be able to treat that effectively. So we first have to understand what a healthy microbiome would look like, and then we can develop treatments for when you start to see dysbiosis and an imbalance in that community.
So your research was looking at how management strategies might affect the microbiome, of course. Kakapo in the first instance is obviously really threatened. Could this fact play into the explanation for why their microbiome is less diverse?
Certainly. We obviously don't know what a wild microbiome for kakapo would have looked like around, 500 years ago. So we have no idea what that baseline would have been, but what we can work with now is look at establishing profiles for all of the individuals of the population. So as part of my PhD research, we did actually try and profile the gut microbiomes for all adult kakapo, and we managed to get about 84% of the total population that was alive at the time. So we thought that was quite a good representation across the species. And you do find quite this variation in E. coli dominance between individuals. And we don't know if that's a good or bad thing, and we haven't been able to link that to any biological or external factors. So our goal now is to understand whether or not that's just natural fluctuation over time, because your gut microbiome can fluctuate over time. Or whether or not, E. coli is actually not doing good things for the kakapo. And that's just an answer that we don't have yet. But conceivably, the bottleneck that the population underwent due to habitat fragmentation and the introduction of predators may have also created this low diversity gut microbiota that potentially is hampering, the efforts to reproduce and thrive and survive. And so that's something that's of great importance to the conservation management program and can influence how they look at preserving the kakapo for, later generations.
Amazing. And you obviously have these really exciting and intriguing findings. Do you see them being incorporated into conservation efforts anytime soon, or is it kind of too early to tell? You mentioned screening being a possible tool before.
Yeah, so it's a little bit early to use the microbiome for screening processes because we still don't understand whether or not, especially the E. coli, is a good or bad member of the gut microbial community. So we just need to do a bit more work at establishing what an actual healthy kakapo gut microbiome would look like and then be able to treat that. But what we were able to provide for the team this year was with the study that came out last week, understanding that the supplemental feed that was given to the baby parrots when they were in the captive facility and undergoing hen rearing, you're introducing probiotics in that feed, and that was increasing the dominance of lactobacillus that was just not found out in the chicks that were sampled in the nests. And so what Doc was able to do this year was say, hey, we're going to try and hatch as many chicks in the nest naturally as possible, try and be as hands-off as possible. And obviously when the chick's health is failing, survival is paramount. So, changing the gut microbiome or dying, I know which one I would choose. But essentially they were able to kind of try and pull back a lot of the supplemental feed that they were giving to the chicks just to, reduce the instance of potential long-term health effects. And they were also able to stop the process of removing fecal materials from nests, because from their end it didn't have any impact on chick health. And, from our end we were saying, well, it doesn't seem to have any discernible impact on the development of the gut microbiome either. So we were able to change some aspects of how they ran this year's breeding season compared to the 2019 breeding season when we collected our samples. And that was obviously really exciting for me as a researcher, because often you don't see that immediate translation of your research and your findings. So that was really cool.
That was me speaking to postdoctoral candidate Annie West about her recently released work on kakapo microbiomes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.